have to put this pulpit on wheels. Someday I'll be too weak to pick it up. Well, good morning, church family. Oh, thank you. Shabbat shalom. It is a beautiful Sabbath, isn't it? Lots of rain last night. Did you feel it? Did you hear it? Marty was out with the dog running in the rain. Came back all wet. I got to lay there in bed and listen to the fall on the roof. It was beautiful. God is good, isn't he? How much of the time? Yes, all the time. All the time. If we just stop to count the blessings in just one day, we couldn't put them on two hands, 10 hands. God blesses us. The problem is we don't often stop to think about it. We don't often stop to meditate on God's goodness towards us. And do we deserve it? Do we? No, we don't. But because we're sons and daughters of God, because we can call Jesus our brother, and Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. Isn't that what we found that out last week, didn't we? He is not ashamed to call us brothers, and I'm going to add sisters. Sorry about that, Paul. Sometimes, you know, he gets caught up in his social culture and forgets that ladies are very important to us. And I'm so glad I have a beautiful wife that loves to sing with me, too. I enjoy singing with her. Whenever we're in the car together, we like to put a tape in and we like to sing. It's great. To receive or not to receive, that is the question. God wants to give you all the blessings in heaven right now. Did you know that? Do you believe that? Come on, we can intellectually say, oh yeah, sure, I know that. The Bible says that. But do you really, down in the depths of your heart, believe that God is standing on the edge of heaven just waiting to pour out His blessings into your life? Huh? Okay, good. That's a little better. You can talk back to me. That's okay. I don't mind that. I just want to hear that you're awake this morning. But it's interesting because the Scriptures say that without faith it is impossible to please and to satisfy Him. Did you know that? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So let me ask you this question. How important is faith in the Christian life? Huh? How important is faith? Very important. You know, so many people say, oh, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I want to have Him as my Savior, and I'm going to try to be a good person. I'm going to try to be a good Christian. But do you ever think about the role of faith in your journey through life? Some of us just kind of stumble along, and we trip, and we fall, and we get up, and we stumble some more, and we trip and fall, and then we're all worn out, and we're tired, and we look up, and we say, well, God, what happened? And God says, you know what? You haven't exercised your faith. Faith is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, what happens? It shrivels up. It atrophies. And when you're 50... How old am I? When you're 52 years old, those muscles don't respond the way they were when you were 25. Right? I've been going and working out with my wife as often as I can in the evenings, and I found out that this is a very painful thing. I'd forgotten really how painful it was because when I was a teenager and when I was in college, let me tell you, I was so full of it. I mean, I went nonstop from the moment I woke up to the minute I dropped to sleep at 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. I was just a go, 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 go. And I was lifting weights. I was in gymnastics class. I was just constantly going. And I gotta admit, I was probably in the best shape I've ever been when I was about 20, 21, 22 years old. But when you get older and you go down to the gym, pain somehow doesn't motivate me to lift weights anymore. Pain doesn't seem to motivate me to want to jog 2 or 3 miles or 4. Like Dustin, he jogs probably 7, 8, 9, 10 miles a day, 20 miles a day. What did you guys do last weekend? I know you went on a hike. Okay? And I'm sure these guys that do this on a regular basis, it's what, 5 miles? What's that? My son's been training for a marathon. It's supposed to be 12 miles, and I called him. I think I told you this last week, but I called him to see how he's doing. He said, well, the furthest I've run so far is only 7 miles. I said, Rick, that's only halfway. But it's an awful lot more than I could do. 1 mile would probably be, you know, that'd be it. So, got to get back in shape. Faith is the muscle of our relationship with God. And if you don't exercise that muscle, it's going to atrophy, it's going to dry up, and you're not going to want to come to church, you're not going to want to study your Bible, you're not going to want to pray, you're not going to want to do anything. Okay? Hurry up and answer that, it might be God. I want you to let that sink in, okay? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me say that again. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Think about that. Okay? And now let me ask you this question. What do you think grieved Jesus the most when he was here on this earth? What grieved Jesus the most here on this earth? He talked about it a lot. The lack of faith. It grieved him. A lot of texts. Write them down. Matthew chapter 6, 30 to 31. He kept saying, what little faith you have. Matthew 8, 25 and 26. What little faith you have. Matthew 14, 31. What little faith you have. Matthew 16, 8. What little faith you have. It's like a mantra. What little faith you have. What little faith you have. And you would think that after a while it would start sinking in. And not only was there a lack of faith among, in general, in society in Jesus' time, but even among his disciples. Look at Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And see the old eyes at 52, they get old too. Oh, she said 53. Don't say that. Okay, Matthew chapter 17, verse 17. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long should I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why didn't we drive it out? And he replied, because you have so little what? Because you have so little faith. Even the disciples. He thought maybe they had an inside. No, they didn't. I'd like to say that even this, listen to this, everything we receive from the Lord, everything we receive from the Lord. What is it? Everything we receive from the Lord is by faith. By faith. I'll even go out and step out on this one. God doesn't respond to our need. He responds to our faith. Huh? If I went around and with a mic and I said, okay, what do you think you need? Oh, well, I need a new car, I need a Ferrari, I need a new home, I need this, I need that, I need a new pair of shoes, I need a new suit, I need a new dress. There would be a variety of responses, but God doesn't respond to our need, He responds to our faith. You're saying, well, how so, Pastor? Where'd you get that idea, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you where I got it from. Look at the Luke, the fifth chapter. Luke, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 20. Actually, no, I want to back up. I'm just going to read the whole story to you. It's one of my favorite stories. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there. It sounds like some kind of a theological seminar. You know, they've all come, all these teachers, all these religious people, all these theologians, all these bright minds, all these intellectuals, they've come to listen to who? Jesus Christ. Okay, well, that's not so unusual, is it? They came all the time. They harassed Jesus all the time, didn't they? Throughout his ministry, they harassed him. But I like the next verse, or the next sentence. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. You know, nothing good happens unless the power of the Lord is present. We don't take that lightly here at Point Loma. You may come in here and you may just say, well, I'm just coming to church, you know, I've got to do that and go home, you know, and I have other things this afternoon to do. But you know what? There is a team of people in this congregation that are on their knees all week long praying for this very moment, this very time on Sabbath. And then Sabbath morning we pray, and the praise teams we pray, and individually we pray. There is much prayer that goes into the worship service here at Point Loma. We don't take it lightly because we believe in the power of the Lord. That's weak. We believe in the power of the Lord at Point Loma.
Amen.
Okay, now, all right. I'm feeling more at home now. So, let's read on. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to this because of the crowds, they went up on the roof and lowered him. They took the tiles off the roof and they lowered him down into the middle of this seminar. Can you imagine? Here we're holding a seminar down here at one of the Holiday Inns or whatever. They've got this seminar room and we're holding a seminar. All the intellectuals have gathered together and they're come to hear this great teacher. And he's lecturing and speaking and interacting with the crowd, with the theologians, and all of a sudden you hear a little rattling on the roof, and you think, oh, somebody's up on the roof. Get off the roof, you know. And pretty soon the tile comes off, and next thing you know, they've chipped a hole in the ceiling, and everybody stops, and they're wondering, what in the world is going on? Come on, get a break, you know, give us a break. This is, you know, a seminar. Leave us alone. We're listening to Jesus. Two groups, the ones that come to listen to Jesus and the ones that come to receive the power of Jesus. Do you see the difference? If all you came this morning to do was to listen to some good words, to listen to some text read from the Bible, you've missed the whole point, because we come here because the power of God is present here. And you can do what you want. You can come and you can listen and you can leave. But if you come and you listen and you receive the power of God, it's going to change your life. When you receive the power of God into your life will never be the same. It will no longer be humdrum. It will no longer be usual and customary. It will be a life changed by the power of God. By the way, it puts you under the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord. When you receive the power of God into your life to change your life, you have put yourself under the authority, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who sits at the right hand of God, who is in the holy temple, preparing a place for us in heaven. Huh? Yeah. God doesn't respond to our need. He responds to our faith. Our faith, our faith. God responds to our faith. If you look at this text, you know it very clearly says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ was here this morning, if Jesus Christ was standing here before us this morning, and the power of the Lord was here to heal the sick, how many of you have a sickness or something in your life you want healed? Raise your hands. Let's see. Oh, okay. Just about everybody. Some of you are really just stronger, and I'll get out. You know, but we all have something. Now, I can't imagine that in that crowd of theologians, in that crowd of religious men, in that crowd of Pharisees and Sadducees, I can't believe that there wasn't at least one guy there that was 52 years old that said, you know what, I need something fixed on my body. But you know what? The sad thing is, the only person that was healed that day was the one that came through the roof because he had faith. Huh? The power was there. The power was present. The power was evident in Jesus Christ. But they didn't grasp that power. They had no faith to be healed. Only the one that came through the roof was healed. Whew! Wow. Boy, doesn't that launch you into a whole other mindset? Does that prioritize your life a little bit? Does that change how you think about church? Does that change how you think about being in the presence of the Holy God? This isn't just church, folks. This is coming before the presence of the Holy One. The Shekinah glory is present. God responds to our faith. Oh, boy. So there was a group that left that day that was not healed or touched or changed by being in the presence of the Holy One. But there was a group on the outside. They weren't part of the clique. They weren't allowed into the seminar. They weren't allowed into the presence of Jesus. But they were on the outside. And on the outside, their faith was strong. And it was strong enough that they would let nothing stop them from being in the presence of the Holy One and being healed. Well, that, of course, then points out something very obvious in our scripture this morning. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials and of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. What kind of faith is it? Perseverant faith. I'm not going to lose any weight if I don't persevere in the gym. I'm not going to build any muscle if I don't persevere in the gym. You're not going to build your faith if you don't persevere, if you don't hang on to God, if you're not willing to break through the roof to be in His presence. You will not receive a blessing. Perseverant faith is an active faith. It is a determined faith. Faith is not passive. It's not always rational either. Was it rational for them to tear the roof off of someone's house? Huh? How would you like it if somebody decided, you know, that they wanted in and they decided, well, the doors were locked, so we'll just break a hole in the roof and come in? You'd be pretty unhappy, wouldn't you? So faith isn't always rational according to our standards, but according to this heavenly standards, it is. You know, people that I know that are people of faith, I find them doing some pretty irrational things into thinking of the world. Some pretty stupid things. At least according to the world. Faith, remember, doesn't always lead to doing the popular or accepted things socially. You think the 12 or the two spies that came back from Jericho were popular? When 10 of them said, can't go in, you can't take Jericho, it's got high walls, they have giants in the land, and we can't take it. And these two little guys are saying, we can, in the power of God. Don't listen to them. They're just a bunch of whips. They're afraid. They're scared. They want to go back to Egypt. But we can go forward in the power of God. The two of us, we saw the land, and we know God will give us the power to overthrow Jericho. Was that popular? Oh, no. In fact, it was so unpopular they had to spend 40 more years wandering in the desert until that whole generation died off and a new generation came in and said, by the power of God, we can overcome. The centurion, when he sent one of his soldiers to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his daughter. It's interesting because Jesus responded by saying, I haven't found greater faith in all of Israel. From a heathen. From a Roman centurion. Jesus found more faith, greater faith, in that man than all of Israel. So what displeases Jesus? Our lack of faith. What pleases Him? It's faith. Simple, isn't it? Simple. The key to receiving faith. The question this morning is to receive or not to receive. James chapter 1. In James, the first chapter, we'll read this, verse 6. Read it again. But when he asked, when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the waves of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So we need to ask in faith, not doubting. We need to ask in faith. We need to meditate on it. It's also interesting in this passage of Scripture that we read. It says that we will not receive anything. And I'm paraphrasing it. We'll not receive anything unless it's in faith. Okay? Anything? That's a big word, isn't it? Anything? Unless it's in faith? I don't think there's a gray area. The word anything is emphatic. God responds to faith. I believe that. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 says, did you receive the Spirit by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? Did you receive the Spirit? What Spirit are we talking about here? Huh? The Holy Spirit. You receive it by faith. So when we approach God, it must be in faith. When we come before His presence in worship, whether it's individual private worship or group worship or church worship, we come in faith. We come in faith knowing that we will receive, knowing that we are in the presence of the living God. And if you've got to persevere, then persevere. If it means you got to get up a little earlier on Sabbath morning when you're so dead tired from the week, then get up a little earlier. Don't miss out on worshiping God on Sabbath. James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 emphasizes the fact that we need to come to God with an attitude, and we need to come to God with faith. Don't come to God with a maybe. 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 Or I hope. Come to God in faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, we need to know His will. Hebrews talks about approaching God in faith. And in Romans 10, 17 it says, claim God's promises. You see the steps there, the sequence? We need to know His will. When we come to God, when we approach God in faith, we need to know His will. How are you going to know God's will? Listen, and through faith, study His Word. You need to know God. You can't just assume. We need to know Him personally. And then we know His will. We can approach Him in faith, and we can claim His promises. Faith is like the mustard seed. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, faith is like a mustard seed. It's a little tiny seed. You ever seen a mustard seed? I couldn't see it unless I put my glasses on. It's pretty small. A little tiny thing, about that big. Little tiny thing. And yet it grows, becomes huge. Little tiny mustard seed. Faith is like a mustard seed. It starts small, and then it grows, and it has great potential. God wants all of us to be men and women of faith. Men and women who persevere in faith. Men and women who persevere in knowing Him and seeking His will and coming into His presence and receiving His power. God wants Christians to be filled with the power, the Holy Spirit, so that throughout the week, those who come in touch with us, those who come in contact with us, know that we have been in the presence of the Holy God. Have you ever met someone like that? The Bible describes for us someone who was so in touch with God, who knew God so well, who understood God and knew God's will so much in his life that when he was in God's presence and he came back to his people there in Mount Sinai, they said, Moses, please don't show up without a veil on your face. The original burqa. Cover your face, Moses, because when you are up there in God's presence and you come down here, your face is so bright, it's shining so bright that it blinds us. Put on a veil. Moses had to walk around with a veil. That was really cute. But let me tell you something. If you've ever met someone whose top priority is being in the presence of God, who spends time in the presence of God, there's a radiance in their face. There's a brightness and a lightness of step. I've been privileged to meet people who are great warriors, men and women who throughout their lives have grown in their faith and their understanding of God and have been in God's presence. I remember when my wife and I were married, we asked my father to perform the service. Of course, you know, he's my dad, he's a minister. But there was also another man who we loved dearly too, and that was her grandfather, Elder N.C. Wilson. And I've always relished and cherished moments spent with him in just talking and in praying. So we asked him to do the blessing, the prayer in our service. And little did we know that he was going to take us before the presence of God. I was lost in God's holiness as he prayed at least 5 minutes. Good sermon. More than a sermon, though. A man who could take you before the very presence of God in prayer, and you knew that you were there. I long for that. My faith is like a mustard seed, and every day God challenges me to stretch and to grow and to build the muscle of faith in my life. And every day is a struggle, but you know what? It's in the struggle. It's in those moments of wrestling with God. It's in those moments of struggling that I come in touch with His presence. And I'm blessed. Father God, in the quiet of this sanctuary, we've heard the whisper of Your Holy Spirit. In this moment of total adoration and praise to You, our hearts have been filled with joy for everything that You mean to us and everything You have done for us. We can't possibly repay You, God, and it's by faith. It's by faith that we accept Your grace. It's by faith that we accept the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins and makes us holy, a holy people. Bless us throughout this coming week, Lord. Show us in what areas we can stretch our faith. In areas that we can strengthen our faith. And may it be said of the Point Loma Church, there is a church that truly is a church full of men and women that are men and women of faith. Help us not to go from this place, Lord, empty-handed. Help us to go from this place healed from our infirmities. Just like that paralytic who took up his bed and he walked away. Because he had faith in the presence of the healing God. Bless us now, we pray in Your name. Amen.